Greetings. This is John Case, the host of EnlightenRadio.org. You're listening to a podcast broadcast on June 14th, 2017, of Resistance Radio, which broadcasts regularly Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. on Enlightened Radio in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. Your host is Stuart Acuff, legendary AFL-CIO organizer, and his guests are representatives of the local resistance movement born since the Women's March and the Trump presidency.
Dead Air Radio's worst enemy.
Statesboro, is that what you want?
Statesboro Blues, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, this is Enlightened Radio coming at you from Shepherdstown, West Virginia, just above the bookstore, Four Seasons Bookstore on German Street in downtown Shepherdstown. It's a great little bookstore. It's a great, great little bookstore. It has
now,
a wonderful
now,
reading
I got to ask you, okay, would you rather have the Allman Brothers, Gary Davis, David Bromberg, or Taj Mahal?
The Allman Brothers.
Okay, the Allman Brothers? Okay.
Yes, their version of Statesboro Blues is the best one ever recorded.
All right, okay, all right, here we go.
Written by Blind Willie McTell, y'all. And that's Dwayne on the slide guitar. About Statesboro, Georgia, a place I'm way too familiar with. Between Atlanta and Savannah, deep South Georgia. Here comes Greg.
Wake up, mama. Turn your lamp down.
Oh, Greg Allman. You got Enlightened Radio if you're just tuning in. Coming up is Resistance Radio with Stuart Acuff.
Stuart Acuff, born on a mountaintop when he was three. Killed himself a bar.
When he was only three. I was born in a bottomland swamp, man. Right. Okay. Within a stone's throw of the Mississippi River.
I thought the bottom land was the good land.
It is a good land.
You know.
It's a wild land. It's a frontier land.
You know, they asked the Cherokee if they could farm on the side of a mountain.
Right. Before General Jackson took his land.
Yes.
We are in the country here in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia. All right, welcome. Good morning, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors. You're listening to the Rock of Appalachia, Enlightened Radio, here in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. We got a great Resistance Radio show here for you today. A wonderful show. Lots and lots of news. Gonna be hard to get through it all, but we have two very special guests. I'm gonna introduce them right now, and a little bit later they're going to talk a little bit about themselves, and they're going to talk a little bit about themselves and how they got active, but they are two of the most important leaders in the resistance to Donald Trump here in West Virginia. They are the leaders, Susan Pipes of West Virginia Women's March, and Steve Shatkin of Vigilance. Vigilance is the Shepherdstown, Jefferson County affiliate, I guess you would say, affiliate of Indivisible, which is that great group that has taught us all involved in the resistance so much about lobbying and how to influence our senators and House members. That is very important because we have got to stop the Republican health care bill. We're going to talk to you a little bit about why, what's in it, what's so bad about it, why we have to stop it, and why our senators are so critical to stopping it. But first, we've got big, big news. There's been a terrorist shooting in Alexandria, Virginia this morning. I don't have very many details. It just happened this morning, and the media are still getting the story, but it was a shooting at a Republican baseball practice. They were evidently practicing for the congressional baseball game, which is this weekend, where the Republicans play the Democrats. Two Capitol Police officers were shot and injured, and House Majority Whip Republican Steve Scalise was shot and injured. And I read one witness said the gunman asked more than once if this was the Republican practice or the Democratic practice. So evidently he was going after the Republicans. But nevertheless, it was a terrorist act. You know, we condemn it as vigorously as we can. Terrible, terrible act this morning. Alexandria, Virginia, just across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C., a gunman shot on a Republican baseball practice, injuring two police officers, Capitol police officers who provide security for House and Senate members, and House Majority Whip Steve Scalise. I've said, and John Case, our station manager, the founder of the station, president, CEO, and chief operating officer as well.
Yes, and an investor.
And
member of the board.
Okay, John. Yes, you are an investor. But you're not the only investor.
No, there's three or four others, actually.
Here. There's this week's investment.
All right, man. I don't turn anything down, as you know.
That's this week's investment.
Stuart Acuff has just paid his dues, you know, and then some.
I passed the Saul bill over to John.
Thank you so much, Stuart.
And John, most importantly to me, is my friend and my leader. He also runs this little operation and keeps us all going and is the visionary behind enlightenradio.org. But on Wednesday morning, because I can't run one computer, much less three, John is the engineer for Resistance Radio. He's the engineer for a lot of the shows on this station. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Secondly, thank you, John, for being with us. Secondly, we have to mention the Susan and Steve. We have to mention the Elf's testimony yesterday. The Keebler Elf's testimony. The Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions.
Mr. Sessions, why is it that I can see right through you? Whence cometh that transparency?
I just don't know. I had to come here today to defend my honor and integrity. I've been serving the people of this country for 30-odd years, and I will not let my integrity be besmirched as it has been besmirched. I did nothing wrong.
When were you bitten?
I did not meet with the Russian ambassador at the Mayflower Hotel.
No. When were you bitten by a vampire is my other question.
At birth. That's why my ears look like bat wings.
Now, remember, Tom Paine once said that the fact that we're all created equal by the Lord, but afterwards became quite unequal.
Right.
That this was evidence that it wasn't God's will that we be this way, but that it was all human doing that had caused the great divergence.
Yes. Well, there's a lot to that.
Yeah. You know.
There's a lot to that, and that is one of the foundations of our country, that we're all created equal, and we in the image of an almighty God. No cards and letters from those of you who don't are not believers, who are atheists or agnostics. We're so glad you're with us. John is one of you.
I have a different... that's not true. I'm like the guys in Arrival. I have a different dimension on which it's all going to happen, that's all.
Right. You have a more Whitman-esque view. So Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, gets before... the Senate Intelligence Committee yesterday, chaired by Senator Burr from North Carolina, the ranking member being Senator Warner from Virginia. They seem to be working pretty well together. And Sessions got his ass hand. Y'all, this is not broadcast, so we can curse on this radio station. Sessions got his ass handed to him by Kamala Harris of California. And by Senator Heinrich of New Mexico. I mean, Harris put on her prosecutorial. She used to be a local prosecutor. She put on her prosecutorial demeanor and wore his butt out. And, of course, for a racist misogynist like Jeff Sessions, I don't know anything that could be worse than being on national TV in the Congress of the United States and having a black woman kick your ass publicly. But that's what happened yesterday. Sessions could not recall. He says, I don't remember if I met with the Russian ambassador at the Mayflower Hotel. Well, you know, John, I think any of us who came of age during the Cold War would remember if we met with the Russian ambassador at the Mayflower
Hotel.
Well,
I just can't recall whether it was at the bar or was it in the men's room. I just don't know when it was.
John, you do not do a very good Alabama accent.
I know. I got ruined by living in Northern Virginia too long.
Right. Near Alexandria. Oh, I'm so happy we have our guests that we have on today. Two friends of mine, new friends of mine. Steve Shatkin, who is here for Vigilance, which is part of Indivisible. And Susan Pipes. After 3 weeks, I know Susan all too well. I did a die-in with Susan downtown Martinsburg. Where somebody complained that if I wasn't careful, I'd get my feet run over in the street. But I've also done lobby visits with Susan and been to several meetings with Susan. I am so impressed by our local leadership and by our resistance in the Eastern Panhandle. I'm going to ask you all to talk about your own background in a little bit, but right now... we want everybody tuned into this show right now. Everybody to do two things. One is call your two senators. I don't care if you're in West Virginia, if you're in Tennessee, if you're in New Hampshire, if you're in California. And tell your senators to stop the Republican health care bill, the AHCA. Do not support it. Do not vote for it. We don't know what's in it. They're trying to pass it without telling the public what's in it, without holding public hearings. So we're going to ask you to call them. And Susan, well, let's start with Steve. Steve, tell us real briefly in your own words why this piece of legislation is so wrong. Steve Shatkin.
Sure. There is almost nothing, if anything, in the House-passed health care bill that is good for West Virginians. The estimate is that about 200,000 people in West Virginia will lose their health care coverage because of this bill. It also is a problem because the combined with the attacks on the Affordable Care Act by the administration, it has thrown the insurance companies into a tizzy. Insurance companies are there to make money. That's perfectly legitimate. But they need people in the system who are healthy. If you have...
That's right.
If you have car insurance only for people who get in accidents, car insurance premiums would go out of this world. And the same is true of health care or any other insurance plan. So with the administration first not advertising the program as fully as was supposed to have been done for the new year, and then calling into question whether they would enforce the individual mandate, which keeps healthy people with insurance on the system, and now the House bill, the insurance companies are bailing out of some states. They are saying that they are very likely to raise premiums tremendously for the states that they are still in. The House bill also includes an undercutting of the Affordable Care Act's provisions on pre-existing conditions, because states can basically opt out. There is some money for what they call high-risk pools to supposedly take care of that, but the amount of money, I think, is generally agreed, is woefully inadequate to do that. One could go on for a long time about this,
it's
Stu.
It's terrible.
But how about that for a starter?
That's really great and really important. The other thing that I'm very, very concerned about, and I'm going to ask Susan to talk about this for a little bit, is the House passed GO. As far as, we don't know what the AHCA is going to look like in the Senate coming out of their work redrafting the House bill. Right. So all we have to go on right now is the House bill, right? And the other thing that is very concerning to a lot of people in West Virginia is that the House bill would end the Medicaid expansion. And I think Steve mentioned that that would take upwards of 200,000 people out of health care. Now, it's particularly a problem in West Virginia because Medicaid expansion is helping us provide care for a lot of people addicted to opioids and alcohol, and which is at a crisis in the Eastern Panhandle right now. Now, Senator Capito, Susan... Senator Capito has told us, involved in the local resistance movement, that she wouldn't do anything, wouldn't support anything that would take West Virginians off of health care. But she is waffling on that commitment right now. You've been with her aides when they have promised that she wouldn't come, she wouldn't support anything that took West Virginians off health care. What do you think about her waffling right now?
Yeah, Steve, you and I were both in that office together, and it was just, we, unfortunately, sometimes we want to wish for and believe that our senators are true to word, but unfortunately, as we know, that she has waffled and has done this before, and us West Virginians should stand up and let her know, and the only way you're going to be able to do that is call, and call, and you can fax. And you can just simply use all kinds of methods. You can use a bot that you can use on your phone. And that's basically a texting. You use a number, which is 50409.
Say that number again.
50409. And then you type in the body of the message, resist, R-E-S-I-T. And then you just follow the prompts. And then you type in your message, and it will fax your message to your senators. Also, be aware, the phone calls, we've been informed that the phone calls have stopped to all the senators, they're back to normal. You have to remember, if you don't let your voices be heard, then they can waffle, and Capito has done so, and that is wrong. West Virginians are at risk, and... Medicaid is so important to making sure that the underprivileged, the we need to make sure that everyone is covered and do not lose their benefits, especially those with pre-existing conditions. I mean, and you, the voters, you constituents, you have a voice in this. And unfortunately, we have a bunch of, and I am serious, a bunch of old white men that are behind closed doors and making decisions for West Virginians. And I want to tell you, there are 7 out of the 13 that are over 60 years old. 75 years old, 83 years old, 77 years old. Are you kidding me? You really want them to consider Ted Cruz to be a Latino? You might do so. But there's not a woman, no African American, no Asian American, and no Native American, which you, the voters, all across America, you, the voters, constituents, have voted into office, and yet none of the 13 are behind closed doors. Are you kidding me? Seriously? But you want the people that are over 60 years old deciding over your body? Well, I'm a woman. No, I do not want them to vote over my body. No, because you know what? Those old men have no idea what my body is going through. And also, African Americans, they have a lot of times health problems they have to deal with that, sorry, white old men do not understand. So what do you have to do? And that's all across Americans. But for me, West Virginians need to get on the phone. You can even use Facebook. There is a thing on Facebook that says, contact your representatives, and Facebook will send out messages. There is always a way. How often do you sit at your computer? Pick up the phone. Call your representatives. Do not let them decide what your body, you know, how to go to the doctor. They're not spending any money. None of them. So get busy.
Thank you, Susan. Get busy. Get busy. That's what West Virginia Women's March is saying. Come on, y'all. Let's get busy. Pick up that phone. You can text your senator, and we will send your senators in West Virginia. That would be Senator Capito and Senator Manchin, and we will send them a fax. Pick up your phone and in the and go to texting and type in 50409, and in the body type in resist and follow the prompts. You know, I think this is the first time that we have seen the federal government rolling back, killing a social program that has been drafted and worked on for years and years and years, and implemented a policy to cover more Americans with health care, to make health care more affordable, to try to rein in the costs of health care. I don't think we've ever seen legislation and policy like this rolled back for the federal government. And, you know, 23 million Americans stand to lose their, excuse me, health care coverage. Boy, the pollen in the Eastern Panhandle is bad. 23 million Americans stand to lose their health care coverage if the Republican bill is passed. Steve, we've been on this trying to stop this AHCA for a while now. Of course, President Obama pushed through the Affordable Care Act, also called Obamacare. And we know it's not perfect, but it's done an awful lot for an awful lot of people already. Why, Steve, do you suspect the Republicans want to roll it back and stop it and kill it dead in its tracks?
Well, I think one main reason is that they're stuck in their own making, that they've spent 8 years trying to stop anything that was done by President Obama. They put up numerous repeal bills after the Affordable Care Act was enacted, they have pledged to their voters that that was the one big thing they were going to do. They have now run into the realization that people actually care about having their health care coverage, do not want to lose it, and are concerned not just about themselves, but about their friends and neighbors and family. And so they are scrambling to try to find out some way to pass something that they can take advantage of. The other thing that's going on, of course, is that the president is only interested in something he can call a victory. He celebrated wildly, if I may say so, over the passage of the House bill, which he apparently yesterday now calls too mean. So he is saying the Senate bill should be less mean. I think that we can probably do better than less mean, in my opinion. We have been telling Senator Capito that we do not, our members of Vigilance Jefferson County have been telling her that we do not want any West Virginians to lose health care coverage or to lose any of the benefits that they have under current law. We do not want to see their health care costs go up as a result of any Senate bill. We do not want to have Planned Parenthood defunded. And we do not want to see Medicaid either be made a block grant or have a cap put on it, which would automatically start to strangle the Medicaid program. There has been a press report that Senator Capito may sign on to the idea that Medicaid reductions would be okay if they took place over a seven-year period. This would have the, I suppose, accidental effect of getting her past her next election, as well as the 2018 election in the House.
Are you sure that's accidental, Steve?
I'm not sure of anything, Stu, in this situation, but it's a fact that that would be the effect. And it seems to me that slow torture before you die is no better than dying. And that's what she's trying to do, if that's true, to the Medicaid program in West Virginia.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Steve. That was a wonderful analysis. I've been really impressed, Susan, with West Virginia March and with Vigilance and all of your activities. I realize John and I went down on the UAW bus on the for the Women's March, but out of Martinsburg, but that's the United Automobile Workers bus. But I understand that West Virginia Women's March filled six buses from Shepherdstown. Susan, who is West Virginia Women's March? Who is Vigilance? Is it local people? Is it a national deal? Do you have staff? How did you become the leader of West Virginia Women's March? And how do y'all do your business?
Well, Women's March is a national group, and it was formed by several women that decided when Trump was elected, and actually before he came into office, that there needed to be a mission based on values and principles. And the past election cycle, you know, there were insults and they threatened so many of us, and it would, against immigrants and Muslims and religions and people like LGBTQIA and Native people and Blacks and Brown people. So many of us, we were sad and afraid, and he was hurting us. So the group was formed because we wanted to stand up and let everybody know that this was not okay. And that's one of the reasons the march for the day after the election happened, to let him know that this was not okay. And from there on forward, we were not going to go away. And we ended up with a lot of organizations. The list is so long. Now, as far as Women's March in Shepherdstown, we decided that we needed to work with a lot more groups, and one of them being Vigilance, because we also realized that working with groups, that we can get a message across and help reach out to much more and many more. In this instance, we've decided that healthcare is so important at the moment that we need to get help among each other to reach out. And working with Steve, and there's a couple other great people in the organization. So, and Steve and Stuart here, we've done a lot of work, like going to the offices, and Jesse, who's Jesse Ward, who is an outreach captain as well in Shepherdstown, who's come up with some really fabulous ideas, which one of them was the die-in where we laid out on the streets in Martinsburg. And by the way, there's two more coming up in Charlestown and in Shepherdstown, and everybody is invited, which is where we are protesting.
And what's a and what is a die-in? And let's go through this slow in case there's somebody wants to be part of it. What is a die-in? Where are you doing them? Because I'm going to be there. You know I am, Susan. Where will they be? And what is required? Nobody's got to get arrested. We know that. man, I'm sorry. What and when are these? Where are we going to be and when?
The one in Charlestown is on Friday the 23rd in front of the library, and it's from 7 to 8. And what a die-in is we want to get across that the healthcare is killing us. We will be carrying signs, and a lot of them are tombstones. The one that I, for instance, carried for my husband was, I died of colon cancer. Here lies a loving father, husband, and grandfather. Because so many of us have pre-existing conditions that will not be covered. And there were many, many more. And so we lie down because, hey, we will die. And so the one in Charlestown is Friday the 23rd from 7 to 8 in front of the library downtown. And then we have one on Saturday the 24th here in Shepherdstown. At the McMurrin Hall.
Yes.
And so also from 7 to 8. And we hope you will join us. And we are going to, hey, we will put a toe tag on your toe. Because, you know, we're going to end up in the morgue someday anyway. And we may end up in the morgue a lot sooner the way things are going. And yes. And as far as Women's March concerned, we do hope. We have meetings, and so does Vigilance, and we can certainly use your help to get some points across. And I do want to say, as far as Capita concerns and West Virginia, she is a woman. And as far as a woman concerned, you know, she should very much stand up for the women of West Virginia. She is not part of this decision-making behind closed doors. And by the way, Steve, now, Stuart,
yeah,
you were with us in the office, and, you know, her representative said, and which obviously was a lie.
Susan, do this really slow, because I want everybody to know this and hear this.
And obviously, her representative lied to us. He said that Senator Capito pushed her way onto this AHCA committee to be part of it, to make decisions. Well, she's not part of this. Well, no, she's not. And as a woman, she should be very upset that she's not. And, you know, Claire McCaskill, Senator from Missouri, now she did. She pointed out to Hatch that and charged the GOP for being partisan and crafting the AHCA behind closed doors. So the Democrats don't know what is going on. And by the way, several Republicans also went on record saying that they don't know what's going on, but they were going to do it anyway. Now, Obamacare, yes, ACH, aka Obamacare, does have its problems. But you know what? They did have hearings. The Republicans did propose amendments, and they were accepted. That is what working together is about. The Republicans are hiding behind closed doors. They do not want the American people to know. and they do not want the media to get hold of it to pick this apart. But the main part is West Virginians are going to be affected by this. 200,000 people. That is unacceptable because we need to bond together and help each other. So please, I urge you, get on your phones, call both senators, Manchin and Capito. Remember, you control their destiny. You vote for them and tell them what you think of them. Do not, however, tell them you're not going to vote for them because then they don't want to listen to you. But clearly state who you are, that you're their constituent, and tell them why AHCA is not going to work for West Virginia.
Thank you, Susan. That's very important. So if you're from West Virginia, please call. While we're on the air, call Joe Manchin and Senator Capito and tell them to defeat the Republican health care bill. Steve, you've been playing a big role in Vigilance. How did you get involved with Vigilance? And do you have a background in political activism?
The simple answer to the second question is no. My wife and I had a trip planned to visit her relatives in California the day after the election. And so we spent the holidays out there recovering from the shock of what had happened. And we started to make a list of things that we thought we might be able to do, supporting groups that are opposing the Trump agenda, things like that. It wasn't a very long list. But after we got back in January, Jill had heard about Indivisible, the national group. And so we went online and found that, in fact, there was an Indivisible group being formed in Jefferson County, where we live. So on January 29th, we went to the organizational meeting. We got together in different groups for taking on different kinds of responsibilities. And I wound up being on what's called the rapid response team, which is trying to react as quickly as possible to the ever-evolving legislative activities in Congress in particular. We establish priorities for our group every week, send them out, ask people to call, email, tweet, visit offices, and give that message. And of course, healthcare has been on our message now for week after week after week. Capito, I think, is particularly important right now in sending these messages. If she joins with just two other Republican senators, she can dictate what goes into a bill and what does not go into a bill. Because the Republicans only have 52 votes. The Democrats are unified against it. So if she joins with Susan Collins and or Senator Murkowski from Alaska, or even Ted Cruz, if he decides that he doesn't like the fact that the bill doesn't go far enough in eviscerating health care in this country, that would do it. I don't expect a coalition of Capito and Cruz, by the way. But that you get the idea. So
I can see Ted Cruz doing that. I can see any sort of cynical right winger neo-Nazi. And Susan and Steve, we freely use the term fascist to describe Donald Trump and those most close and loyal to him. That would actually be a kind word, John, for Jeff Sessions. Fascist would be a kind word for Jeff Sessions.
Well,
there's a lot of words to put in that basket.
Look, when you get to the right on energy of the head of Exxon, where are you exactly?
Well, you're over there with Goebbels.
Stu, I'm going to have to say that I don't think that President Trump is competent enough to be fascist. Fortunately for everyone.
Yes. Well, and folks, you know, here's the really interesting thing. And by the way, if you know Steve and Susan, I need you to call them this afternoon. Because John and I are trying to give y'all a show. And we need Vigilance and West Virginia Women's March on the air every week. Don't we, John? Don't we, John?
We need you guys to do your own show.
Yeah.
And you got to get some geeky young people. The internet shows that do the little full cycle, which is, I call, you got to broadcast it. But you also got to publicize it, and podcast it. Because everybody on the internet wants audio or video on demand, really. They don't want to have to tune in at a certain time, et cetera. I mean, that's just the practice. But so you have to have a cycle there. And it takes, if you think of it in a production cycle and you actually engage your community, which is something you can do on the internet radio that you could never do on terrestrial radio. It's very difficult to do on terrestrial radio. You have to spend a lot of money marketing and surveys to even come close. And most stations, like around here, are very low wattage, okay? So you're not going to get more than 5-10 miles radio at most, okay? Anyway, so, but the problem with internet radio is you have to take responsibility for the whole cycle, right? Because there's a trillion stations and sites out there that no one will find you if you don't develop your community. But you can, and once they start spreading it out on social media, I mean, really, you'll go along, and eventually a pattern will develop, and people will start connecting. Okay, I mean, if you
and the great thing about hooking up with y'all and getting you your own radio program is that these are the folks, Steve Shatkin and Susan Pipes and my friend Tracy Reardon and Jesse Ward. These are the folks who are stopping Donald Trump.
Oh, and Sherry Harris.
These are the folks who are stopping Donald Trump. And here we have two of your friends and neighbors in this studio today talking about how you can get active in this same movement. And as we've said on the show before, this is a real social movement that it was created organically, as Steve talked about, from the ground up. People like Steve and Susan came together. After the election and by the time of the inauguration, they had a plan, and they've been mobilizing people all over the Eastern Panhandle. Susan, did you have any background? How did you get involved in West Virginia Women's March?
I will answer that in a second. If you apologize that you called Sessions a Keebler elf. Can you imagine those sweet little cookie making little elves? Nobody should be called a Keebler elf. Now, you can call them creature. That was a mean old little,
he's a mean little bastard. How's that?
Bastard. All right. No, I did not have any political experience whatsoever. The only thing I can honestly say, though, that I've always voted, including locally, and pretty much had knowledge of most of the people that I voted for. So I was aware of the Women's March, but I knew that I could not make it to D.C., but I was determined to go to a Women's March. So I went to a sister march in Winchester, Virginia, and my husband came along with me and met some awesome folks. And the reason after that I got involved was simply because I have a lot of friends that are from various ethnical backgrounds, religions, and belong to the LGBTQ community. But my personal reasons are I am a naturalized citizen from Germany. My family, my grandmother was in World War II and lived under the Nazi regime. And my mother was a couple years, but grew up basically post-World War II. And so I do not want to live in that world. And when you start, for instance, restricting media access and calling things fake news, well, that's the beginning. That is exactly what happened in Germany. And that scares me. So therefore, I'm involved, and I'm going to scream it from the rooftops that we have to do something. You cannot judge people on their color. You cannot judge people by their religion, especially in America. So, no, my political involvement beforehand was non-existent, but I am not going to stop, and I'm going to keep talking to people And by the way, you also have to listen to the other side. Don't argue with them, but you need to listen because there's always a lesson to be learned. Now, when they do use language that is inappropriate, walk away. But however, you do need to listen because there is a reason why some things happen in America. But overall, I do not want this country to fall backwards because, you know, America to me is great. And that little, well, I will tell you, my German friends call him the psycho baby and the psycho clown. And that is how I feel about this man. And I do not want to have number 45 make me feel about my country the way he's trying to make me feel. Because I am proud of my country and I love West Virginia. And I love the people here and I'm going to do whatever I can to help West Virginia to stay strong. And so there, that's how I feel about it. And I love the people I've met, like Steve and Stuart, and working with Kim and Kate and Jesse and Sherry from the Women's March. They have really made me a different person while I'm doing this.
Thank you, Susan. You know, Susan's a perfect example of something most of us know, that the hostility of the Trump administration toward immigrants, the hostility of the Trump administration towards Muslims, the hostility of the Trump administration towards people of color, towards gay people, transgender people, and everybody who doesn't fit the Trump box affects more than just the individuals. It affects their communities. It affects their families. It affects their friends. My kids and their mother have been harboring an Ethiopian immigrant in our home in Silver Spring, Maryland, just outside the Washington, D.C. line. This woman's green card, she was a legal resident. She has a family here. Her green card expired. And because of the anti-immigrant feelings that Trump stoked and built a fire under, she couldn't get a job without a unexpired green card, and so she ran out of money, and so she's been staying with my kids in Silver Spring, Maryland. So it affects them. It affects me. The anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant fire burning in America today affects all of us. You know, our fabric is a crazy quilt, crazy quilt work, especially in the United States, you know, the country of immigrants. So, Steve, you know, you don't come from, and again, everybody, this whole movement of people stopping Trump is organic from the bottom up. So, Steve, you don't come from a real active political background. What was it personally that made you and Jill, your wife, want to be involved in the resistance movement?
I think primarily because it's an attack on the basics of American democracy, that there are many things that go directly to our values, which focus on caring about others besides ourselves, undercutting constitutional protections, freedom of the press, for example, are very important to us. We're in a, it seems to me that we're in a period where there's a real clash going on. When I was in grade school, if I can tell a short story.
Sure, please go ahead. Hey, this is your medium, brother.
Thank you. I won an essay contest sponsored by the Daughters of the American Revolution on the topic of what the flag means to me. I read it over the local radio station with a star-spangled banner in the background. And I just want to illustrate that regardless of party, regardless of some of our values that don't match sometimes, that you can be a patriot in this country. And we regard ourselves as patriots in defending the Constitution and defending the basic institutions of government, the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary. And in trying to find ways to find common ground, even with people that we disagree with, for trying to solve the problems that we have. And those are the reasons why we got involved.
That's wonderful. Yeah, let's pose the question to ourselves and one another. What is real patriotism? And are you a patriot if you help the people you claim to be a patriot? If you hurt the people that, or if you hate the people you of the country that you claim to be a patriot of? And that question is being asked right now across America because this is a fight for our democracy. Our democracy is threatened. So far, most democratic institutions are holding. The press is holding firm. The courts are holding firm. We just had another appeals court turn down the Trump Muslim ban. That looks like that's gone. Although he'll take it to the Supreme Court if he can. And it's going to be hard for the Supreme Court to overturn all these local court decisions and appeals court decisions.
And out of your dollar, exactly how much would you bet on that?
I'd bet a dime.
Your confidence in the Supreme Court is about the same as the Vietnamese confidence in their court system in resolving debts. Remember, they had to rely upon reputation.
It's not confidence. It is, you know, rational. It's logical. I mean, how does the Supreme Court overturn a half a dozen lower court decisions? It's a little tough. I'm not saying they won't do it or can't do it. Certainly they can do it. But there's a lot to overturn there. Anyway, it's good news that another appeals court has ruled against the Trump Muslim ban. Folks, we really, really need you to call Senator Capito today and call Joe Manchin today. That you can send them a fax by going to the text message on your phone and typing in 50409, and in the body of the text, simply write resist, R-E-S-I-S-T, and follow the prompts. Now, if you want to talk to a staff person, you can do that. The direct line to the Capitol switchboard is 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. I wouldn't be surprised if that line's not busy because today is Senator call-in day and people are going to be calling that line from all over the country. If you have trouble getting through, call tonight or call later this afternoon.
Stu, can I add one more phone number?
Yeah.
Since I'm emphasizing Shelley Capito.
Please.
Her office number is 202-224-6472. And I know my wife Jill got through this morning to
Great.
Express these
Great.
Views. So 202-224-6472. And that would be specifically for Senator Capito.
6472-202-224-6472.
That's correct.
Good, good. Tell us how people in the Eastern Panhandle can get involved with the resistance movement, both Vigilance Steve and West Virginia Women's March, Susan.
Women's March has what we call huddles, and there is one in Charlestown, and there is one in Martinsburg, and there's one in Shepherdstown. And we have Facebook pages where you can find us, but you are also more than welcome to email me, and my email address is for WVMarch, march.susan@gmail.com, and I will send you any information that you would like. And the reason why Women's March, you know, I know you heard a lot of my personal opinions as well, but Women's March is nonpartisan, which you should realize that none of these issues that we at Women's March are concerned about, they should be for everybody. When you are worried about whether it's your health care or the LGBTQ community or the rights for immigrants, and the list is endless, those should be your concern, and that's everybody's concern. So one of the reasons that at the moment, as we've discussed, health care, especially for West Virginia, is so important. But another thing that's really important that's going on right now in our community is the pipeline. And I can hook you up with Jesse Ward and Tracy Cannon and even Tracy Reardon, who's working with Vigilance as well. These ladies all are working for this cause. Now, I'm involved as well, but these three ladies especially are very involved. So please contact me at wvmarch.susan@gmail.com, and we'll get you involved. And Steve, tell them a little bit more about Vigilance, so how they can get involved with you.
Thank you, Susan.
I do want to emphasize also that Vigilance Jefferson County is a local affiliate of the national group, but we do not, we get information from them, we get ideas from them and suggestions for the issues that we choose to emphasize, but we make our own decisions. Like the
Women's
March.
That's right, that's important.
Like the Women's March, we are not affiliated with any political party. We are solely involved in trying to get our members of Congress to do what's right with respect to issues that affect West Virginia. We also emphasize identifying for the people of West Virginia injustices that are being perpetrated, you know, one way or another, either through legislation or acts of the administration or otherwise, and trying to gather public support, sympathy and support, so that we'll have an even broader effect. Vigilance Jefferson County has a private, I didn't bring the web addresses, but Vigilance Jefferson County has a private web Facebook page where you can join. We have a public Facebook page as well, and we have a website. If you go to any of those, I would encourage you to fill out the survey that's offered. It allows us to alert you to events that are coming up and get you involved in any demonstrations that we have planned, and also we'll have access to the priorities that we set on a weekly basis for the calls, emails, and tweets and visits.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. Please make those calls today to Senator Capito and Senator Manchin. As Steve said earlier, we only need to get three Republicans to come out against the Republican health care bill. And if we get Senator Capito, we're one-third of the way there. If we get Senator Capito, one Republican can break the logjam. She has to be reminded, and her staff must be reminded over and over, that she committed not to vote for anything that would cut health care for West Virginia residents. And now she's waffling on that commitment. And folks, I'm going to be involved with Susan, and I'm going to be involved with Steve and Tracy Reardon and Jesse and all the other good folks in 2018, because we've got to change the makeup of the Congress. What matters is not what party their members are of, but what policy they vote for or vote against. And the way it is right now is the Democrats are the only ones doing any of the right things. Republicans are doing all the wrong things as they follow Trump. I just, John, we've got a good Springsteen song queued up for as we bumper music as we go out?
No retreat, no surrender.
Right.
How's that?
Okay. Yeah, and I just want to really thank Steve Shatkin for coming by this morning, and Susan Pipes, who've done great work in the Eastern Panhandle now since Trump was inaugurated, who are leading this incredibly important fight. And folks, we need you, because Capito is probably the most important senator in the United States right now. So thanks for all you're doing. Thanks for all you've done. And I personally look forward to working with you both very much throughout the future. And I personally look forward to doing your shit work for you when you get your own radio show.
That'd be nice.
So, John, take us on out. Hey, we love y'all, everybody, friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. Please be with us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. for Resistance Radio, your voice of the resistance to fascism and the resistance to Donald Trump. Here in the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia, we love y'all. God bless you. God bless the USA. Bye-bye.
Busted.